If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Zabe here from MyBookie, the official sports book of the Zabecast. Real payouts, real customer service, absolutely rock solid place to get your sweet action on when it comes to sports. What a glorious time we're in right now. NFL is going, college football's going, about to add in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Baseball playoffs are here every single night. There is no shortage of games to watch or bet on, and you need to get on with MyBookie. Whatever it is you like to bet, lay low and then wham, hit them with a big right hook of a bet, or maybe just dabble or have a little bit here, a little bit there. Do it from your phone. It's so convenient. Play some parlays, underdog parlays. Make meaningless games meaningful for you by putting a little something something on it. And go to mybookie.com to do it. When you sign up, use the promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start in your winning season. Read the rules and regulations so you understand how the bonus payout works, and you're on your way. Promo code ZABE to claim that bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, the Masters coming up, presidential prop bets. Oh, it is sweet action all over the place. MyBookie.com, the official and reputable and rock-solid sports book of this, the Zabecast. Today on the Zabecast, a special Free Hugs and Candy Van podcast with Notorious J.A.Y. and Nigel Mark Stern from the Tony Kornheiser podcast. We'll talk about a coworker who once blew out his ACL running to the conference room for cake, plus other stories of too many years in radio. All that, plus the CDC changes its tune. But is anybody listening? Your high test, not street legal, 30-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Oh, here we go!
Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. Thank you for downloading, and thank you for the very positive feedback in general about the new Wednesday wrinkle. And now for something completely different. I know a lot of you said, oh, as soon as I saw it was a gun episode, I was like, good grief. But a number of you said, look, after listening to it, I thought it was very fair down the middle and not very much, you know, rah, rah, gun, bang, bang. I enjoyed the conversation, and thank you to my brother and his lawyer friend, John. And I think we're going to keep doing that. It does help me from a workflow management, time management standpoint to have that Wednesday something different podcast. I can record on a Saturday or a Sunday, set it up, have it in the middle of the week to kind of take a lot of the pressure off the week in terms of my production of content. And so I think I'm going to keep it because of that and because it will allow me to get off-road with single topics that I can go deeper on. I've got a couple of pilot friends. I'm going to try to get them in the van next, and we can talk about airplanes, flying,
crashes, you name it, bunch of other stuff. So any suggestions for other deep dives, let me know. And I'm going to try to make sure that it's always two people in the van with me, because I think that's what provides the best conversation. I don't want to Zoom call somebody. Everyone's sick of Zoom calls, right? You see another Zoom call interview. I see them all the time on my social media feeds, sports people, and they're like, oh, look at my Zoom chat with someone. Like, I know we're all out here trying to produce compelling content, and I know that Zoom is a useful tool, but goddamn, aren't we all sick of Zoom at this point? I know I am, for one. Okay, that said, today, a long but hopefully fun episode with Jay and Sterno. I enjoyed it. The first half hour is kind of self-indulgent. There's a number of people, you don't know who they are, but there's also a number of good anecdotes in there that will give you a behind-the-scenes look at the kind of shit that has gone on in radio in our careers. And then the second half is more about the industry as it stands, where it's going, and the future, and a bunch of other stuff as well. So I hope you enjoy. It's a long one today, so we'll get right to it. But first, let me give you one quick other topic, and that is, apparently this week, word leaked out that maybe the Washington football team name is going to stick around for another year, because apparently 8 months is not enough time to get a new name, new logo, new trademark, new uniforms, new phone, who dis, up and running. So another year with this god-awful, temporary, humiliating burlap sack of a name. The Washington football team. It's such an insult on top of the fact that the team is awful, on top of the fact that we're running in circles at the quarterback position, on top of the coach contradicting himself at every turn. He did again today, in which he denied saying that there was ever a cutoff point for Dwayne Haskins in terms of not playing well enough to keep his job as starter. Pete Haley of NBC Sports Washington asked, is there a cutoff point with Kyle Allen like there was with Dwayne? And Ron went into spin mode or lying mode and said, I never said that with Dwayne. Bro, we just heard you say it. Stop snowing us, okay? So the name thing is frustrating because to me, it wears like a burlap sack. It's itchy. It's awful. It's humiliating. I could take 1 year of it in hopes they would get the name right and take the time to do it. But you're telling me it's more than a year? It's more than eight? Come on. And now they're like, some people saying, well, Dan might like the simplicity of it. Washington football team. Some are arguing, excuse my voice. Okay. Some are arguing that if you never go to a new name, the remembrance of the old name, the Redskins, is kept alive somehow. Almost like a widower who refuses to remarry out of honor of their dead spouse. That's the concept that I sort of heard talked about, and I reject it wholeheartedly. Just pick a new fucking name. And get a new logo. And change the colors if you want. I don't care. This notion that we're going to stand on the Washington football team, incorporated 1932, and that's going to somehow not dishonor our late widow, the Redskins. Get the fuck out of here. We need a name. Pick one. You got until, I'm going to call it March 1st. That's when you need to start rolling out the name, March 1st. That's plenty of time. Tell the lawyers, work overtime. Tell the league office, work with us here to expedite it. I don't want to sit in this burlap sack of a name for another year. I can't. I won't. With that said, Notorious J.A.Y. and Mark Stern came in to the Free Hugs and Candy Van, otherwise known as the Mobile Strike Studios. I lured them in with some fun size Halloween treats, and next thing you know, they didn't know what hit them.
How are your headphones, sir? Okay. Yeah, I could be a little bit louder.
Let's see. Is that louder?
Check. No.
Maybe
no,
you're on
no.
two.
That's the one.
There you
yeah.
go. You there, brother?
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
Sterno, you got the deaf thing going. You're
I was
going
to say that.
Like a lot of radio guys.
We're going to be deaf. Yeah, I've noticed that.
I've been working since 96, man. My ears are fucking shot.
I've noticed that when I listen to my iPods, it's like all, yeah.
Are you guys, is it a little bit warm in here?
I was going to say it's wonderful. It's nice.
I'm okay.
Cool.
You stuffy? Okay. You want the air on?
No, I don't want the air on.
No, this is nice.
You want me to take my shirt off?
Well, actually, that would be fucking
hot. Crazy later.
That would be hot. I haven't seen you, Sterno, in months. In fact, I'd have to get my laminated card out to show
check
me.
My scene, Sterno.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Jay in a long time either. Fucking great to see you guys.
The last time I saw you, it was you guys were doing a remote in lovely Gambrels. That's right. They had, yeah.
Holy shit,
That
Gambrels.
Is the last time I saw you.
So that's going to start, by the way. I need to sync this up in case I use any audio. It's like you got to clap it up sync that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So this will start our tour of fucked up radio things. Since we all used to work together at the Team 980, what years, Jay, did you work there approximately?
I was there 99 to 2001, left, and then came back in 04.
All right. For how long?
To 09?
All right.
Is it 09?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So about 5 years. Sterno, you?
Yeah.
I was 01 to, I think, 07, and then I had a 2-year break when I went over with Tony to TOP. And I came back in 09, and I think it was 09 to like 16 or 17 or something like that.
And you're still with Mr. Tony and the Mr.
Yes.
Tony podcast, thriving. Download it wherever you get your podcast,
Thank
right?
You. Yes.
He's been doing it for how many years now?
I think this is our fourth year.
Is that it?
Yeah.
No, it's got to be more than that.
No, you mean the show itself or like the podcast?
The podcast.
I think it's really just 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he liking it, Mr. Tony?
Yeah, he is. It's been a great switch for us.
Something. Mark in his normal voice.
Oh,
not
sorry.
Nigel.
Right.
So, do you need me to do this? It's Nigel. I just realized that.
Nigel. I just realized this is nobody's hearing him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. It's
are you allowed? Are you allowed to use Nigel on a different podcast?
Nigel's fake.
Yeah, I think
Ooh.
I just did. Yeah. Oh no! Is that cat out of the bag? 20 years later.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Fucking Nigel's the best. What a character. So yeah. So Mr. Tony's happy doing the podcast. He's got free reign to say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean,
not that he's saying anything controversial.
No, it's still the same show. But it's just you know, on a different, you know, format.
PTI is still the franchise, still
yes.
kicking ass.
Yep.
Him and Wilbon.
Yeah,
he belongs to Columbia. He bitches about anything he can find a reason to bitch about. That's Tony's deal.
Yeah,
life is good for the guy. You know, he could keep doing this until he's 100, like Sid Hartman did in Minneapolis.
I know.
How about that?
Rest in peace,
huh?
Yeah, melancholy
way,
happy
Hartman.
Trails to Sid Hartman. By the way, he told a story on the show the other day that you would appreciate. He was playing, and I don't know what kind of ball he had, but it was a nice ball, maybe a Pro V1 or something like that. And there was confusion with another golfing party in front of them, and somehow he wound up with a Pinnacle, and he was like, this is a terrible ball. And he's like,
Jesus Christ, Pinnacle is a terrible ball. That's a fucking rock.
Right, that's what he was like. And he's like, and I was fueled by anger for like, he used that, and he like parred the next three holes. He was like, it's the best I've played in years.
Par, birdie, par, birdie.
because
I had a fucking Pinnacle.
Yes.
I guarantee you, if he had that Pinnacle in play, he was not making pars and birdies. Oh God! So we're here in the parking lot of Match. Man, my voice is really dry.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, there you go.
It's dry.
Okay,
it's dry. It's dry.
My voice. Peter Brady situation.
It is the van here needs a little refrigerator, but I don't want to encumber on the space too much. It's already
okay. I'm going to describe this van because when he said van months ago, I thought van from Bad News Bears and Breaking Training. This is nice as shit, people.
It's not bad. It's a Ram 2500, which was upfitted by Waldock Upfitters in Minnesota.
Ding.
They didn't give me that much of a break, if anything.
Oh, okay.
But so
never
don't
mind.
Ding them, unding them. And it's, you know, it's right. It's just below an actual RV, and it's more than just a van.
You can
stand up in it. Yes, took it to Hilton Head with the family. Air conditioning went out the morning that we left from Virginia.
Oh, that's
of
a great ride.
Nine
of
hours,
course.
No AC.
Oh.
Got it fixed in Hilton Head.
worked for 3 days, went out the day we came home. Ugh. 9 more hours back. Ooh. With the AC not working.
It's
been fixed since.
Yeah, so the dog will love. They'll remember that trip forever.
Yeah, truthfully, yeah, they will. They were pretty good about it. They could have complained more than they did. They were pretty good troopers.
I'll be honest with you. I've been in the back of a lot of vans with men, and this is the nicest one.
Bet you have.
Now, how do you escape them normally? Do you just
okay?
Do you use the Vaseline from your backside to slip out of the handcuffs? How does that work?
Can I tell you a true story?
Yeah.
No.
True story.
No, only made up stories.
Because I don't know if I want to hear this now.
Walking back, when I first moved to D.C., and this is like the early 80s, I'm walking back from a metro station to my house, about 3 or 4 miles. Sunny day. I was like 13, 14. I was like, whatever, man. I'm just walking. It's a good day. And this van pulls up right next to me. And he goes, hey, you know how to get to so-and-so street? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you go up that way, you take a right. And he's like, do you need a lift? And what did I say? Like a moron?
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Sure.
A van.
A van.
Unmarked?
There are things that stick out of my memory now, but it's pretty nondescript.
But once you were done getting raped, you would not remember them to tell the cops what it was. Describe the van. I don't know. My anus hurts. That's all I can describe.
I remember what the carpet looks like, but that's it. So we literally drive like maybe like 5 seconds, and the guy says something, you know, like, how you doing today? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay.
Hi, you want a joint?
And he goes, what's your name? And I say, Mark. And he says, my name's Dave. And just the way he said it, then my radar went off, and I said, oh, no.
Then.
Wait a minute.
Your radar went off.
We drive maybe another 5 seconds, and he doesn't even turn to me. He's just looking straight. He goes, so, are you feeling horny? And
I was shut. Like, the.
No.
Fuck
yeah,
up.
No. And I was like immediately started to open up the van, like the door, and like I'm like, we're going like 30, and I was like falling out. And he's like, no, I'll pull over. Like, and I get out, and I like just fell out of the van, and he just drove off.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is white America. That is right there. That is white America.
I can't. No. I can't.
Okay, let's try the story with me. Do you want to get in? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I can only think that I was his first attempt. He was nervous, and he was like, all right, fine, you can go, it's okay.
I got to say, Jay, I don't see a lot of black guys hitchhiking on the side
no,
of the road.
No.
It's not something your people do.
No, we don't.
For all the obvious
reasons. But
right.
That's one. Yeah, because we could get, right. Two guys you don't trust. Two guys the guy who drives a van and the guy you see wearing camo pants.
Oh, shit.
You don't trust either one of those
camo
guys.
Pant guy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Can't trust them. They're crazy. Them.
All right.
They're crazy.
So, coming back here today, I haven't been back to Rockville, sister city to Pinneberg, Germany. I saw the sign that's over there somewhere.
Pinneberg.
I forgot about it. Yes, that's right.
Sisters,
I remember that.
I'd always dub it as, yes. And this, you know, Rockville Pike here in Maryland is, I call it the Boulevard of Dreams just because it has all this shit. It's got, well, it used to have, it's got a Best Buy. It used to have a Radio Shack that I would get off. Buying
shit. At the end, right?
Buying some dongle or something.
Yeah.
That I was like, I got to get.
Oh, up the street. I'm sorry, right the street. Yeah, yeah.
A Verizon store, which I used to get so psyched when the new phones came out. When was the last time you got excited about a new phone? Are you excited about the iPhone 12?
No.
Don't give a shit, right?
Don't give a shit.
What number are you rocking right now? This one is my dad's, but the other one I have is an 8.
I don't even know what this is.
5.
This is a 5?
No, it's. Does it have a button?
Yeah, it's got a button.
Yeah, so you're a button guy still.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm not a button, so what am I?
There's something, what's past the button?
Well, they got rid of the button after 8.
Oh,
they skipped 9.
No button.
So 10, ooh. 11, and 12, no button. But they did, with the iPhone 11, bring back a smaller model with a button. Because they realized some people like the fucking button.
I don't mind, because you just swipe up and... I like the face recognition.
I guess I got it.
All right, so let's go around the horn on the most fucked up shit we've seen in radio firsthand. All right, name names. Let's start dropping some bombs. Let's make the rubble jump here, okay? Ain't nobody rehiring us. So
that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I'll never forget Chuck Sapienza, bless his heart, one of your favorites, saying to me and Andy, he's going over the quarterly hours of our show, the sports reporters, in his office. And he's showing that, like, well, you know, 5:30 starts to drop off. And we're like, yeah, Chuck, have you heard our signal at 5:30? In the winter, it goes to static, right?
Yes, it does.
And he says to us, and I swear to God, he goes, well, you're just going to have to find a way to be compelling enough that they're going to listen through the static. And at that point, I said,
I already got up and quit. I can't work. I can't. By the way, we're going to each you can tell your best Chuck Sapienza story. That was because we've each got one. So
can I just ask a question? When he was telling the story, were his arms behind his head so you could see
the pit stains
that he had like he used to do all the time?
I don't recall that. But all I could think about was, you know what? I don't have any answer for that. A guy in his fucking Lexus LS is with 8 speakers and a stereo radio is not listening through static. No. I don't fucking listen through static.
Nobody does.
Nobody does. It's 2010 or whatever it was. So, yeah. So that was there's an appetizer for you right there.
So Chuck was a producer like the rest of us.
Produced John Thompson.
This is when he was producing Thompson. But he was in good with our program director, High Pants.
Oh, Bill Hess.
Bill Hess.
He's over at MAL, so don't go too hard. I might have to send my resume to him.
I work with Bill.
We
use the studio space when we could use the studio, so I work with Bill all the time. Bill and I get along great.
So this was the day Sean Taylor died.
Oh.
And we were getting guests left and right. And I was working with Doc Walker. And Doc said, call Wilbon, see if he'll come on. And Chuck happened to be behind us talking. And then Doc goes, well, let's save Wilbon for our show tomorrow. So I call Wilbon and I say, can you come on tomorrow? Not today's not great, not tomorrow. Or tomorrow, you know, tomorrow's better. Chuck hears that, runs to Bill Hess, and tells him, I'm hoarding guests. Like he told on me.
God.
I was like, that is the biggest pussy move ever. Hated him from that day on. That he told.
Yeah, he was a big tattler.
On another producer.
Well, didn't he have Shovers do the back channel eavesdrop on the studios when the mics were supposedly off, that there was a back channel button you could hit in the studio and you could listen to conversations?
Yes.
This is a miserable human being.
Because Chuck would do that to get intel on shows.
Right.
And I remember confronting Tim about that. I was like, are you actually doing that? And he said, oh, yeah, it's great. You wouldn't believe what you could hear. And I said, and I get along with Tim and I'm like, hey, Tim, man, you can't do that, man. That's a violation of like everything. Like, there's a code. You can't just don't do that.
Is it true that Jackson and B. Mitch would say stuff a lie just to see how quick it would get back?
When false leaks.
Chuck, it was like, let's smoke out the rat. So they would say something outrageous while they were in studio and Chuck was running their show. This is what they told me. And like before the end of the show, management would come down and be like, hey, is there a problem? Can we talk about something? And I'm like, aha.
Yeah.
Please tell you, yours might be the best.
Which one?
The player you got.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a time I was, this is my second go around there, and I can't remember if Chuck was the senior producer or he was the program director, but when you would send guest requests out, you would do it for the entire day. I would try and get stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
Just be like, look, it's from 10 a.m. to, 7 p.m., whoever you can get. And I sent out, we were just trying to, get stuff for everybody. And I got Andy Reid on with Coach.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good get.
Yeah.
And I don't need credit for it because whatever. It's for the team and whatever. And I love Coach. God rest his soul. Love Coach to death.
Andy Reid is still alive.
Andy Reid is still alive.
But he'll be dead soon. Just kidding. We'll all be dead soon. Don't worry. He's got the face shield. He'll live forever.
and Chuck walks down into the office where I guess Coach and Doc were. And he just goes, Coach, you won't believe who I got you for your show today.
Shut up.
Took total credit for it. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
He told me that story. I was like, not shocked.
Believe
that 100%.
So my boy Castleberry, who I owe a lot to because he hired me way back in 99, when we moved radio stations from the Silver Spring studio, which was a shithole.
Brookville?
Yeah.
Let's go. But we had the best times.
Silver Spring was great.
We had the best fun times.
One story, flat cinder block building.
Yes.
With a flat roof that ended up leaking one year.
with water.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. A board.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Merle, our engineer at the time.
We have story. God rest his soul.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Merle had
in the Philippines.
With a hooker.
We don't know about that.
Merle, our engineer, would late at night, if you were there after I was doing a show, he would share with you pictures of his, wonderful hookers and ladies of the night. He would have a bottle of Jack Daniels in the freezer.
Yep.
Yes.
And I believe he had a handgun with him.
Yes,
so there was that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All that, but nice enough guy.
Wonderful guy.
So
brought
anyway,
the hooker in one time. Remember that?
I talked to her for like 20 minutes. Yep.
It was
like what was her name?
She was Vietnamese. We sat, Merle was doing work, and she sat in the TNT studios with me while I was doing the Caps game. Yes, talked to me for like 20 minutes.
So the leak, the roof starts to leak, and we go ahead and we put up, or Merle puts up plastic sheeting to catch it from pouring down into the board.
On the board,
because it's a flat roof building that's got gravel for a roof, which can't be that efficient. And they didn't want to fix it. It was going to be like $12,000 or something outrageous, right?
Yeah.
Cheapo radio.
Yeah.
So it got so bad, there were so many tarps up, and they were starting to drip and leak, and they put plastic packing tape over the outlets of the studio, 110-volt outlets, right?
Right.
And I'm like, this is fucking dangerous. And so I called OSHA.
Yes! The original Karen!
Karen here. Oh, yeah! Fuck, yeah!
I remember hearing that and laughing that Zaven called OSHA.
I called OSHA, and I said, y'all need to get down here now. So I filed a report, and then, like, the next day, there was this little buzz that went through the building. Oh, my God. Maryland, Occupational Safety and Health is here. Oh, my God. And everyone was abuzz. And I just sort of, I was like Homer shrinking back into the bushes, just sort of like this. And so they go and they do the report. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, they're going to fucking nail them. Like, they're going to shut this place down. We're going to have 2 weeks off. They leave. They go, okay, we're going to. And then, like, a day later, 2 days later, I kind of was like, hey, Todd, so what happened with that OSHA thing? He's like, they just told us to put some better tape over the ducts and get the roof fixed eventually. And I'm like, that's it? And he goes, that's it.
Yeah. We moved, and then we moved, like, a week later.
Was it moved? No, they fixed the roof. We moved shortly after that, but they did fix the roof. And I just watched those poor fuckers up there with snow shovels.
Yeah.
Taking the heavy white river rock off the roof so they could redo the lining underneath it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, Sterno, as bad as it is inside, it's fucking worse up there.
Oh, yeah.
So thank God I'm in radio.
I love that. Silver Spring, that was my. Remember the month of the shooter?
Oh, shit. Remember zigzagging to your car at night?
Yeah, we were worried.
Because you didn't know if you'd get fucking sniped in the middle of the night?
Well, because somebody got shot very close to the
gas station.
Oh, yeah.
That was like
cut
the,
shot.
Yeah.
Well, remember, I was doing stand-ups that day. They were like, they came to me and they said, we're pulling you off a show. We're sending you out to do field reporting. And I was like, why? And they were like, because they're trying to make me a reporter at that point. And they said, there's been a shooting. And I was like, okay. I had no idea how big it was. And then you get down there and you're like, oh, my God, this is
huge.
Yeah, it was crazy.
DC Sniper, that was so much fun. Holy shit.
Well, we were standing out there because we always bullshit on the way
after
out.
After work, we would stand out there for an hour and just talk.
And remember the day Walker came out?
Doc came out and just ran.
It was like it was like the combine. I mean, he was like, I'm getting out of here.
You fools can stay here if you want to.
Yeah. It was right, too.
All right, next up.
Earlier today, Stern and I were talking about the infamous. There's like four moments from the old regime and everything. The Christmas party. Did you go to the Christmas party?
The one that got Rod and Kitzmiller fired?
Oh, is that his real name? I thought it was Blitzmiller.
Whatever. Yeah, well, he was Blitz night.
No.
Yeah, he got completely shitty and ended up in a snowbank.
You went?
No, I was not there. I heard about it.
Okay, no, because Stern and I like to laugh because we're doing the show with Michael Graham, rest in peace. I mean, his career, not him. He's not there.
I think he's still around.
Yeah, he is. But his
conservative
career.
Talk show pundit, Michael Graham. Yeah.
So Stern and I, our show ended at 7, and the party started at like 6. And I made it a concerted effort not to drink because I was like, you got to drive back to fucking Severn. So there's no, just don't be stupid. Don't drink. And I was like, eh, okay, whatever. So I got there like 7:30. And the party was out of control at 7:30.
Yeah.
Stern gets there like 7:45, and it's even worse.
It's like 2000, 2001.
2003.
It's going to be 3. I think it was 3.
2003.
Okay.
And I believe the
sales gal that he...
Lori Diamond.
Lori Diamond.
Yes.
Beautiful girl.
Yes.
Big old JUCO imports up front.
And nice as hell, by the way.
Yeah, sweetheart. And he he got a little handsy with her. But maybe smacked an ass.
But the thing, the whole party was out of control.
But he was like leading. He was the tip of the spear. He was drinking glasses of vodka like it was water.
Yeah.
And telling everybody about his time in Panama when he was in the military.
I mean, it
was like all over the place. And it was like, you walk in, it was like, have you seen Ron? You're like, oh my God.
And he's out of control right now.
And then I think Jimmy Weisskopf, who was the general manager at that time, and Todd went over to him and they said, all right, you can't drive, man. So he gave up his keys. And literally like 5 seconds later went over to Jimmy, the general manager, head honcho of the whole place, grabs him by the shirt collar and goes, you've got my fucking keys. Give them to me. And they're like, and you're out of here.
Yeah.
And that's when he went and passed out in the snowbank in the bush.
Yeah, that's when we said, we're going to have to cut you loose, I'm afraid.
No, that's not what they cut him loose.
No.
They cut him loose because the next day
he was doing a morning show for one of the sister stations.
In like bum F, Virginia.
Yeah.
And didn't show.
Slept through it and called in sick. Yeah, when they finally got a hold of him, he said he was sick. But it's like, you do know that we're all part of the same company. And they're going to figure this thing out in like 5 minutes.
Came in to our station, though, and did his updates.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was, by the way, and they drove him home. They put him in a cab and took him to Fredericksburg. What, Frederick?
Frederick. I think it was Frederick. Yeah, Frederick.
With another guy we're going to tell stories about who was in the pantheon of worst people.
Can I give you a guess? One of his many nicknames was Not So. Remember him?
Oh, Trimmer.
Thank you. So they put him and Trimmer in a cab because Trimmer was drunk as hell and put them and drove them both out to Frederick. Now, Aaron Trimmer.
Let me describe him. Yeah, okay. You want to describe him?
No,
Aaron Trimmer, you're better at this.
Aaron Trimmer, born loser.
Oh, by the way.
Probably a nice guy, though.
General manager of a cluster in Phoenix.
Yeah, program director.
Doesn't shock me. Okay. I mean, you know what? Nice guy, born loser.
Not nice guy.
Well, okay. Whatever. Born loser, morbidly obese, but enough to waddle around, nerdy, constantly paranoid about his job with rightful reason because he was useless as tits on a bull.
Yes.
Yep.
And he used to do what I call the Trimmer laps, where he would just walk laps through the building just from one end to the other.
Hoping someone would strike up a conversation with him. And nobody did.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, when you wear a 10-gallon cowboy hat into work in Washington, D.C., when you shave your entire head, like, I'm not talking a buzz cut, when, you know.
And that day, he comes in, Monday he had hair. Tuesday he comes in completely shaved.
Yeah.
And the silence as he walked in.
It's like for no reason.
And by the way,
I don't have hair. I'd love to have hair. I would never shave it if I had
room,
it.
And by the way, that bullpen that we were in was.
Oh, it was the 27 Yankees.
It was. You couldn't do anything without getting your balls busted.
Yeah.
Vintage Scott Lynn, vintage Scott Jackson, Bram Weinstein, CJ, you could not get it. Galdi, who, by the way, is the sneakiest son of a bitch, and I hope he hears this, because
he's one of the funniest guys out there.
Anything without getting your balls busted.
Now, do you know that ad, that insurance ad, where it's like if you turn into your father and there's somebody with blue hair walks into the store, and the guy's like, we all see it.
We all see it. Right, I love that. Don't be your dad.
That was all of us when Trimmer walks in with a shaved head. We're like, are you kidding me, Butterbean? What's going on there, man?
By the way, but this is the best one. Remember the day he tore
Before we get to that, just to draw closure, Aaron was in the cab ride home with Ron that night. We don't know what happened in that cab ride.
Ask Galdi.
Certain things may have happened.
We'll never
know.
The only person
who knows is the cab driver, and he ain't talking.
My God.
But yes, the funniest
Aaron Trimmer story ever is the
cake
day
story.
He tore his ACL getting up for cake. You remember that day?
Shut the fuck up.
Yes! You remember this?
Fat kid tore his ACL lunging for cake.
Our wonderful secretary, Peggy.
Remember we had birthday cake in the conference room
every month?
We
had one cake for the month.
Right. Please go to the conference room. There's cake in the conference room. Please come there.
In fact, they would shame you if you didn't go.
If you didn't come in,
because I would be like, fuck it.
Right. And so I'm on the other side of Trimmer, like on the other side of the row of cubicles, and I'm walking around, you know, doing the walk. It's like, you got to go, like you said. And I hear this, and I walk around, and Trimmer is rolling around on the ground holding his knee. He had bolted up so fast and was like sprinting to get the cake.
Fat guy blew it out his ACL for the cake running for cake. That says it all right there.
Yeah. One ever.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
They had
one.
To bring an ambulance.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
An ambo.
Yeah, but that's the fun of radio. There are so many
fucking weird fringe characters.
My favorite nickname.
And they come and go.
Scott Lynn gave him my favorite nickname. Because remember, he was a big UVA fan, so he'd wear that big orange shirt.
Yeah.
And so, Scott Lynn would be like, what's up, Kool-Aid? Kool-Aid. Oh, my God. It was great.
I think Andy called him Shrimper.
Shrimper. Andy was in there. And Andy is as brutal as anybody in the
Andy,
long.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Andy's self-unaware of his own shortcomings or things he could be clowned on.
Oh, my God. Andy was brutal. And if he didn't like you, Andy didn't care.
No, he doesn't fucking care. Andy's chin is like Randall Tex Cobb.
Yes.
He can fucking take anything and it doesn't faze him.
Yes.
And he's unaware of, like, he's mockable. He's like, well, that's fine. So, you know.
I saw
Andy almost get in a fight at this bank right here next to the Matchbox where we're parked right now because the guy in front of him didn't have his shit together when he got to the window.
Oh, God.
And so he's like, oh, hold on a second. I need to fill this out. Okay. And Andy's like, hey, you know what? Why don't you move aside? And it got to be this big to do. And I'm like,
you had to break it up.
Oh. Yeah. And it was some country club guy that was not going to be a threat, but Andy was ready to jump him.
Wow.
Like, settle the fuck down, man.
Andy did not like your former producer, Eunice. I remember he did not.
Glenn?
He did not.
Glenn's on the podcast. No, he listens to this all the time.
I'm just saying, but Andy didn't like me. Andy didn't like me. Andy didn't like Eunice. I'm just saying. I'm not speaking out of turn here. I'm telling the truth.
I love Glenn. I have not seen Glenn in an awfully long time.
We all love Glenn.
Glenn is a great guy. However, being said.
Okay, here we go.
Glennie,
here it comes, buddy.
He did something with you that is seared into my brain that it's a nightmare I can never escape.
I was drunk, and it was my first time.
Right.
It was consensual. You had some kind of boil on your back or something, on your back shoulder or something like that, and you needed ointment on it. And you said, Glenn, you got to put this ointment on my back.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I don't remember that.
Yes, you did.
I literally don't remember that. You're lying now. Glenn, next time you're on, you can verify this.
Yes.
I don't fucking remember that.
Yes, yes, you had something on, and the picture of you leaning over a chair and Glenn lathering your back. Yes, that did happen.
Yeah.
Holy
that shit
my
up.
Bare back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
in the office.
Yeah, in your office, in your
Brookville.
Corner office.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I never had a corner office.
You had the office at the end.
Yeah, that's not corner, Jay. Windows.
The end.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm making this shit up.
Hey, I had a nice office over on 1801. It had a window.
You did. Yeah.
And it had I fucking slept in the afternoons there.
Nice office.
It was a nice office. It was very small, but it made it out real nice.
It was good.
He was like George. His office was like as nice as George's.
And then the new corporate overlords came in because the station changed hands more than fucking Kazakhstan, you know, with invading armies.
Remember it was East West? Or was it? No. Was it? What was the company? The first time I got there, it was. It wasn't Clear Channel. It was something before Clear Channel.
East, west, north, south.
North, south, something like that. Sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever. So when the new corporate overlords came in, they said, well, these offices don't have windows. We got to put windows so that you can see in. So you're not pulling a Jeffrey Toobin, which could be another whole subject for the podcast here.
Wow.
But So they put in the windows so, you know, you could look in and make sure nobody was doing any hanky-panky. But I would sleep during the day on the couch, and nobody wants to walk by clients or other people going, who's that fucking oaf dead on the couch in there? So they granted me permission to put up a little privacy curtain.
Oh.
And did I Jeffrey Toobin it to some Zoom calls? No, because Zoom hadn't been invented back then.
Right.
But I would have otherwise.
Right. But you didn't, and that's what's important.
I didn't. That's what's important, exactly.
Do you remember, and this is a Stern story, down the hall from us, it was an office full of the most insanely hot chicks ever.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a door.
That was before we expanded and took over that whole back sales area.
Yeah. So like the office, if you had told me it was a brothel, yeah, I believe that. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, very attractive.
So Stern.
What were they, promotions gals?
What were they? What did they do there? Thank you.
I don't know what they did there. I don't remember what they did.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they did, but
they made you horny.
CJ dated one of those girls for a long time.
But really?
Yeah, Stern tried to hook up with one, and one day he walked by the glass, and we're all looking like chimps.
Yeah.
As he's walking by with this insanely hot chick.
Yeah, Katrina.
And,
yeah.
we're like, yeah, she was gorgeous.
How long did it last?
Well, I was throwing heat. In fact, who's the guy? James Hernandez.
Yes.
We're all down in that.
Love James, by the way. Listen,
what was
it,
that Brazilian, remember that Brazilian meat restaurant that was at the bottom?
Yes.
It always smelled terrible. We went down there for drinks. There were like six of us. Hernandez said, I have never seen somebody with game like that. Like, he was literally, it was like watching.
About you?
Yeah.
And by the way, Hernandez banged a lot of broads.
Right. Hernandez, really good looking dude. Yeah, like super game. He was like, it was like watching Bob Gibson. Like, it was like unbelievable. You just
so
on fire.
So where is she now if you got so much game?
She's married with kids.
Well, like, not you.
We were like, yeah, not me, obviously. She came to a sense.
You had game for one inning.
And then got
lit up after that.
Everyone was like, this chick's totally into you. Like, yeah, no, it's great. And then we all went out and she was like, hey, have you met my boyfriend? And I was like, oh, I need a big bottle of vodka. Yeah.
She boyfriend zoned you.
Quickly. Yeah,
parked you right into that spot right there.
And we were all like, what's she doing with
Stern? She married that dude, and then I was like, it's game over. And then I went into a tailspin, and then I found out that she was only married to him for like 8 months, and they got split up. So there's this window where I could have gotten together with her, but then she found some other dude who's like an upstanding human
being.
That's
what hot girls do.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to turn the AC on. Let's get a little bit toasty in here in the free hugs and candy van. This has been a very fun, wonderful romp down memory lane. It's been a little bit self-indulgent. Many of my listeners have no idea who these people are, but hopefully they enjoyed the stories. When we come back, let's talk about the state of the industry, because Craig Carton today got another contract with WFAN.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
That happened?
It happened. So I want to talk about the state of the industry, where it is now, where it's going.
God.
And then we could talk about Toobin to a Zoom meeting, this Jeffrey Toobin thing. I've got some theories on this. All right? So let's take a quick break, and we'll do that next. All right, so here we are, the state of the industry. Hey, Zabe here from MyBookie, the official sports book of the Zabecast. Real payouts, real customer service, absolutely rock-solid place to get your sweet action on when it comes to sports. What a glorious time we're in right now. NFL is going. College football's going, about to add in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Baseball playoffs are here every single night. There is no shortage of games to watch or bet on, and you need to get on with MyBookie. Whatever it is you like to bet, lay low and then wham, hit them with a big right hook of a bet, or maybe just dabble or have a little bit here, a little bit there. Do it from your phone. It's so convenient. Play some parlays, underdog parlays. Make meaningless games meaningful for you by putting a little something-something on it. And go to mybookie.com to do it. When you sign up, use the promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start in your winning season. Read the rules and regulations so you understand how the bonus payout works, and you're on your way. Promo code ZABE to claim that bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, the Masters coming up, presidential prop bets. Oh, it is sweet action all over the place. MyBookie.com, the official and reputable and rock-solid sports book of this, the Zabecast. Tree is interesting. Sports talk radio. I mean, it's still, there's so many stations doing it. So many markets doing it. So many markets have multiple sports talk stations in them. ESPN has become just one constant take factory. Jay, do you remember when the only ounce of opinion appeared on ESPN back in the day? A 30-minute window by Valerio Productions on a Sunday morning, a show called The Sports Reporters.
That was
the best TV ever.
God, it was great.
But it was the only place on ESPN
that
contained opinion.
Bill Roden, the guy from Philly who died.
Lupica, Bill Conlon, who liked the little boys.
Yes, I was saying.
Unfortunate.
Somebody, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Mitch Albom.
Tony.
Mitch Albom,
yeah,
the plagiarizer.
Yes. Tony and,
Tony and other people. That was the only place that opinion existed.
Did Dick Schaap host that? Was that him?
He's hosted the early... But then they turned it over to, I think John Saunders might even have
a
run.
John Saunders did host that for a while.
So
but
then
you're
the,
right.
the next big jump to having opinion about stuff going on in sports was PTI with Mike and Tony. And then they brought on Around the Horn. And I'll never forget, I played golf with Tony at Caves before that show debuted. And he was just like, this fucking show is going to ruin our shows. He was pissed that they were doing another opinion show. But it turns out he didn't have anything really to worry about because his show is still good and people like the Tony Mike dynamic.
Yeah.
And then they just blew it up from there. They expanded it to the point now where it's all opinion all the time. And the quality of the opinions and the takes at ESPN has gone straight.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Into the shitter.
That's 100% true. I knew it was going in a different direction when the Bomani Jones and Pablo Torre show got canceled.
Yeah?
I knew. I was like, well, maybe they're running out of opinions because that show, not should have worked.
Did you like that show?
No, because I like Bomani a lot, but Pablo is unrelatable. He's unrelatable to, and that's why Tony and Mike are great because they're relatable. That's why Around the Horn, because people like Reale. He, and he's a nice dude, but nobody knows who Pablo Torre is, and nobody knows who Bomani Jones is.
It just didn't work. I mean, the problem with PTI is that it was so good that, you know, I mean, success breeds imitation. So it's like, all right, let's just do different versions of this. And nothing was going to capture that chemistry that Mike and Tony have. I mean, they built that up over the time in the post, and it's just a unique thing. And I don't know.
Now every day on ESPN, they've got to come up with a driving narrative take. So
the whole day.
Tuesday morning, I saw Chiron. Can the Chiefs be stopped in the AFC? Well, fuck, they just lost to the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think that question just answered itself.
Well, they had two today, besides that one. And that's also, should the Browns move on from Baker Mayfield? It was on every show.
Doesn't feel reactionary.
They're 4-1. He's got a rib injury.
Right.
They're playing a team that dominates him.
Right.
Yeah. He gets fucking waylaid. He's knocked out of the game, and now they lose.
Right.
Yeah. So let's get rid of him. My love affair with ESPN, which was hot and heavy for a long time.
Gold standard.
We're all the same age.
Yeah.
And growing up, I mean, it was like in the 80s and 90s, it was like, I have to have this. Like, multiple hours throughout every day.
It was required TV.
Yeah, you just love, you couldn't get enough of it. And I've got to be honest with you, I don't really watch the network at all anymore. I just don't. I watch Tony and that's about it.
They've reduced it to the basic formula of any cable news show, just with sports, and so they have to drive false narratives, and not false narratives, but they have to cook up things and blow up things. And they just try, and I mean, the LeBron versus Jordan takes all day, every day, forever, until the cows come home.
Yeah.
Who cares at this point?
Yeah.
The Cowboys are a big story, obviously, because they have a big fan base, but are they relevant?
No.
Fucking 2-4. Years.
I'm sorry. You mean the first place Cowboys?
Yeah. Well,
it's Dallas week.
That is true. It is Dallas week. Let's get ginned up for that. So the one thing I always tell people is that back in the day when I was doing sports radio and one-on-one sports in Chicago,
and
Illinois,
I was a huge one-on-one sports fan.
Yeah. And back then there was overnight guys like Bobby Kemp. Bobby Kemp was this nice guy, but he was not going to be good at cocktail parties because he looked like a dude who never saw the light of day, owns three shirts, washes them rarely, and just loved baseball and sports. Didn't have a good voice, but he knew sports and he knew baseball, and he would go on these anti-Lasorda rants that were the stuff of legend about him being an overrated manager.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Tommy Lasorda, really?
Yeah, and he would field calls all night
like
long.
Fletch.
Yeah.
Tommy Lasorda? I hate him.
But the reason that he had a job in the business was it hadn't proliferated. It hadn't exploded yet everywhere. And you had to know a bit about sports to have opinions, because you couldn't just grab takes from the endless take factory that is the internet, social media, ESPN, et cetera. You had to have an idea, an opinion that could be supported with something that would carry an hour of radio.
Now, just have a name, a la Mike Golic Jr. and Chenna, whatever.
Janique Adobwe.
On the morning show.
She's a WNBA player. I actually like Golic Jr.
How about that?
I think Golic Jr. is good.
Okay. All right.
You don't?
No.
Do you like the fact that his dad got him that job?
I wonder how he got his job. Just like
the nepotism does drive you crazy, right?
Like
whether he's good or not.
Chris Collinsworth's son. He has a job on Sunday Night in America.
Yeah. How about Chrissy Sims? Another one, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just go, well, I guess that works for
people. Did you ever think of changing your name to Jay Freeman and say you're Morgan Freeman's kid?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, look, there could have been worse strategies.
I told you that all the time.
Come on.
You never listened.
Sterno, you do a Freeman, right?
I don't do it with
you do it everybody. That's the one you
Morgan
don't do.
Freeman. I hope my friend Andy is safe down in Sea-Watt-Nail.
I told Jay I'm very proud of him. I can't do a Morgan Freeman. That's terrible.
How about I change my name to Jay Tirico? I'm not white. Can't do that.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm not a white guy from Staten Island.
Don't you blaspheme in the House of Tirico. This is the House of Tirico. Best play-by-play man this side of Joe Buck.
And a sexual predator, and a dude who believes is white. There you go.
Okay, that's for you to work
two
out.
Two statements,
sexual predation was never proven, and I can't weigh in on the white thing.
They suspended him twice.
That's not proof.
They suspended him twice!
Out of an abundance of caution.
Oh, so whatever I say, it's ping pong. I get it. Okay. I like that. Okay.
Exactly. So now the takes are easily available anywhere.
Yeah, it's just...
They'll be spoon-fed to you, and... Television has decided, hey, we can just put anybody who looks good on, hence the emergence of one Jason Fitz, the former drummer for, what was the band, band name Perry? You know who this guy is?
I don't.
On ESPN?
I don't watch.
I literally don't watch.
I don't know.
And he seems like a nice guy and everything, okay? Will Kane is another one. Who the fuck is Will Kane? Where'd he come from? Now he's over on Fox Sports 1.
Who is Sarah Spain?
Again, right, exactly. So, in other words, you don't have to know anything about sports. You can grab your takes off the fast food conveyor belt, and you can run with it. And that's what has made sports talk radio different, in that you didn't have to be invested as a hardcore fan that had big ideas about this guy's no good, that guy's a better GM, I know this player, that player. The knowledge asset of it has been devalued to absolutely zero.
Now it's just how can I get clickbait and... people
right.
watch
yeah.
my TikTok video.
And it would help to look good for TV because they hire people who look good on TV. I look like a troglodyte. They don't want me on TV.
Plus, I have rogue opinions
that would not sit with the corporate hierarchy.
Well, that's true.
But, right, exactly. But Jason Fitz knows how to dance for the man.
Well, but what I would say
Jason,
is... What,
I have no idea. I have no idea who that is. Now
I'll find
look
him.
Up Jason Fitz.
What I will say, though, is, and this ties into the world of podcasting... I think that people are always going to be drawn to great personalities, people that are smart and funny, of which you are both, Steve.
Thank you.
And I think people will always find those shows because I think more and more, I don't know where the world of terrestrial radio is going. I don't think it's going great places right now.
It'll stay around as long as there's cars and traffic.
Right.
But its glory days are behind it.
Yeah, and I think more and more, and that's why there's 5 billion podcasts, but when you find somebody... that you really click with it, you're like, I want to hear what this person has to say about just about anything. And because podcasting gives you the freedom, you're not like, oh crap, we gotta pay attention to the clock, we gotta get out for traffic
Correct.
Or weather or whatever.
It's time shiftable as well, which people really like.
Yes, you can get it where and when you want, however you want it and when you want it.
Does Tony have listeners that listen to his podcast at double speed to get through it faster? Have you heard of podcast listeners that do that?
Why in God's name would people do that?
Yeah, why?
What's the point?
I have people. Yeah. because it's like crack. They're like, get that shit in me faster.
Go, 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 go.
They literally, and it's funny because I would talk sometimes about how I obsess about sound quality and I want to make sure it's the best it could possibly be. And they're like, yeah, but I listen at 2x speed, so it doesn't matter. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah. They go, I've got a bunch of podcasts I like, and I like yours, but there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many hours I'm in on a train or, you know, commuting.
Right.
Well, so that's real. And they don't care crazy. That I sound like a doubly fast. They just want to hear what I have to say.
I've accidentally hit that speed adjustment when I'm on the treadmill, and I think I'm having a stroke, and I'm like, I can't do this. I just want regular speed, you know? That's not such a big deal.
Okay, I'm reading the Jason Fitz biography, and this is the best
part.
There
he is right there.
That's a good-looking dude.
Having a long-term contract under his belt is new for Fitz, 41, who found the music business unstable at best in his 6 years with the band Perry, and you jumped into radio.
Sure.
Yeah, because, okay.
The only thing
I think he was the drummer, and you know what drummers are? Expendable as fuck.
Well, just ask Pete Best. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah. Exactly.
This is what pisses me off about that. So I've been in radio since 96, I think, is when I started. And all I ever wanted to do was my own show. I just wanted my shot. I worked hard. I thought I had the talent to justify giving me an opportunity.
Remember your baseball show?
Yes, Baseball Roundup.
I love it.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
From 1 to 1:15.
Yeah, when it first started, it was only on during the season. And occasionally Todd would be like, we're preempting you, so it's only going to be a half an hour show. So with commercials, it was like 12 minutes. And you're like.
But you did it because you're like, I want to do it.
And I was like, and that's all I ever wanted was my shot. And nothing kills me more than somebody who's just falls into this and be like, yeah, I thought it'd be kind of fun. And some jackass executive goes, he's the former drummer for Perry. Let's get him in here. Yeah, let's do it. It's like, hey, see me with my hand up? I've been here working hard. I've earned my shot. And guys like me, we just don't get that
and
shot.
And that's the one thing you mentioned, FAN. And that's the one thing about FAN promoted from inside.
Yeah, they used to.
I mean, Mark Melusis was a producer I met at the Super Bowl in Jacksonville.
Right.
And he's now, like, he hosts shows. Yeah. That's how I thought it was supposed to be.
But all of our, speaking of the Super Bowl, that is the most depressing week whenever they send me to Radio Row because
it's terrible.
It hammers
all the same guys?
Well, all the same guys, and it hammers home the fact that we're all just low-level tribal chieftains back in our markets.
100%.
That are able to shake down the local villagers for our fame. And
That's funny.
Very humbling, you know? None of our shit is any better than anyone else's shit. You know what I mean? Our takes aren't better. Our opinions aren't better. Our knowledge is not deeper.
Everybody sounds all the same.
Our shtick, our production, it's just basically it's all within a certain margin. It doesn't fucking matter.
It is fun, though, to walk around with your eyes closed and just hear everybody talk. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, it's fantastic to see you. This is a fantastic coverage. Hey, I'm going to get back to you just after a second, okay? I got to talk to these guys over here.
And then they're laughing like hyenas when Jerome Bettis comes by doing his 29th interview, and you take the headsets off. Man, that was great. That was great. Hey, Bus, let's get a picture. And then the Bus walks away. His handlers are like, okay, we're over here now. We're at this table.
This is in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, right. Yes. This is Moline, Illinois. Yes. Yes. Moline.
Yeah.
I believe they're the Redbirds AAA affiliate.
Yes. Tom and John.
Right.
Tom and John.
God.
Yes. Yeah. But hey, it beats being up on the roof shoveling rocks
That's
off.
That's your joke. It better slapping tar on a hot roof.
Swinging a hot tar mop on a roof.
That's what it be.
That is why I like going to the Super Bowl with Tony and the couple of times that we've done that, because he doesn't want anybody.
He's like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
And we go.
And rightfully so.
And we go before anybody's broadcasting. We're there like, and they're like, you know, vacuuming around.
Oh, yeah.
In and out. I do.
We did that.
Oh, yeah.
We were there so early. Yeah. All you heard was us, FAN's morning show was there.
Yep.
And the people vacuuming. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, because that was mornings on Fox. What Super Bowls did you go to with us?
I went to two, and now I came to Jacksonville and the one whatever.
So you were in Jacksonville where we were sleeping in the creepy apartment because they didn't have enough hotels.
Yes.
35 minutes away down by Jacksonville
Beach. My favorite story from that was a Zabin exclusive. So we had a woman who was like second in command.
Annie Zadarevich.
Annie Zadarevich.
Wonderful woman.
Oh, I remember. Her tales of her, yeah.
Nervous as a cat in a fucking room full of tigers.
So she comes in.
Or dogs.
And we're just wrapping up the morning show. And she goes, well, I listened to you guys coming in. You guys sounded great. It was awesome. And Zabin goes, we're not on in this market.
And she was like, oh, no, I meant this. You know, she was like, tap dancing like Fred Astaire, you know. Because I just knew it was bullshit. I'm like, fucking don't snow me on this bullshit. You sounded great.
You guys are sounding great. Not you specifically, but people in general are sounding great.
Sounded great. Keep it up. I love your stuff, kid. Really good takes, man. You're going places in this business. That was the year that on Monday after the game, Andrew Siciliano and Van Earl Wright, who were doing the morning show for Fox Sports Radio, got so hammered the night of the Super Bowl.
At that thing.
They slept in.
Oh, no.
And missed the first hour of their show.
We had to fill in
and stretch for an hour extra because they had fucked up. Van Earl Wright, a guy who rose to fame on CNN.
CNN doing this is I'm Van Earl Wright.
Van Earl Wright. You know, he had like a growl shtick going on.
Yeah.
The last rung of his career was getting a job with Fox Sports Radio.
That was it.
And they were trying to tell him, look, man, you got to watch football on Sundays to be conversant. Because he wouldn't watch NFL Sundays.
That's a good note to give somebody.
Right. And so
here's the MLB channel. You must watch MLB games.
Oh.
He told, I think, our program director, I forget if it was Andrew Ashwood, may he rest in peace or not, he said, I got better things to do on a Sunday than sit around and watch the NFL.
Well, do them. And just don't
work
here.
Morning radio, nationally syndicated host.
Yeah.
When Stephen A. Smith was at his low ebb, he had lost everything at ESPN, and he had nothing else going on. His agent was able to get in the ear of Fox Sports, and they said, Zabin, you're out. Stephen A. is in. He lasted 10 months and then started climbing back up the ladder again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I can't cry white privilege on that one because that's one of the most – that rise back up from Stephen A. Smith because he was doing like political talk show.
He was like, yeah, he was on Mark Levin's show
as
like a regular contributor, which is weird to say the least.
Right. Yeah, I can't cry race on that one. I got to take a knee on that one.
I got to take a knee on that one and not a Kaepernickian knee.
Not a Kaepernick, yeah.
As it is.
I can't explain Stephen A. Smith.
So anyway.
But the Craig Carton one.
Oh, yeah. So,
I'd like
yeah.
to get. That
so,
one has me very angry.
Of course.
For those, I don't know how much.
The industry shouldn't hire fucking scammers and criminals and felons.
It doesn't look
good. It was something about tickets. Or
he had a ticket agency.
He embezzled millions of dollars.
Yeah, and then blamed it on a gambling problem or something like that.
Yeah, he was a degenerate gambler who would go down to Atlantic City, blow it all on blackjack, and he would raise money under a charity guise, which is the sleaziest of sleazy guys.
Yeah.
And then embezzled millions of dollars and had a ticket brokering scheme. And it was like the movie, what was the one with Adam Sandler that recently came out?
Uncut Gems.
Yeah, Uncut. Did you see it?
Yeah, loved it.
Good, right?
It. Shall I watch that?
Yeah, it's good.
By the way, when you're talking about this, I was thinking
KG's
another movie.
In it, so you'll like it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Remember Owning Mahoney? Remember that?
That's another great one.
I've heard of it.
Seymour Hoffman.
I've heard of it. Heard of it, but I haven't seen it. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, it's a dark tale of gambling.
Right. So that's what Carton did. And they're like, well, but you know what? He's well known. He's more well known now. Because he was the asshole that scammed millions of dollars, went to jail. Now he's out of jail. His takes are edgy. Name value. Let's put him in there. He's paid his debt to society.
So now are they rushing out Joe Beningo?
Is that I don't know.
Or
isn't
Evan Roberts is, I guess, going to do the show with him.
Isn't FAN rather, aren't they getting their ass handed to him right now?
Don't know.
Them and the New York, the other station, ESPN station, they're like kind of going. Michael Kay
finally beat Francesa in the end.
That ain't saying much.
Yeah,
people finally figured out Francesa's a fraud.
Francesa at the end, it felt like watching Willie Mays in the outfield with the Mets.
That guy who does Funhouse really exposed him badly.
He exposed him so bad that then they like try to pay to take his stuff down.
They didn't pay, but they filed a copyright claim, and it prevented him from using the clips, but then they relented because they're like, hey, Mike, this is the only guy that's making you relevant.
is your
fucking lies, huh?
That guy's a fan of yours.
Maybe. A pseudo fan.
I think he is.
I reached out to him. I said, would you do an interview? He goes, nah, I really want to stay anonymous.
Okay,
I can assure he's got a lot
of
enemies.
I get that.
I like that.
Yeah. So I tell people all the time now, I say, you do not want to get in this business because it has zero portability. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. People might say, well, you know, what if you were to work in New York? I go,
I'm not New York. I haven't spent my years there. I don't know all the little controversies about Derek Jeter, this time, that, Rivera, blah, blah, blah. You have to be that kind of thing. So there's very little portability. At most, there's one or two shops in any market that you could go to.
Yep.
So it's very limited in that regard. And the knowledge is fucking useless. Yeah, great. I can remember the time that Morgana, the kissing bandit, ran out at second base and did this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
I listened to a Pittsburgh station on the iHeart app because I'm a Steeler fan, so yeah. I like to listen. And there's a guy who does a show from 7 to 9, and he could only be in this Pittsburgh market. And I'm like, that's what the beauty of radio was.
Well, and that's why it'll never go away, I think, because there's always going to be that localized, I want the guy that's going to talk about.
Right. There's some
who has the wealth of knowledge of years and years and years and years of doing this.
Yeah, but this guy knows every Pittsburgh trivia and that because you know, that's his town. And
I mean, now, I will say there is some portability if you go to like a Sunbelt city, if you go to Tampa or you go to Arizona.
There's no real fans, no real home fans.
Right, exactly. It's not as steeped as Boston, New York, Baltimore, Philly, Detroit, Chicago, that kind of stuff. There you've got to be authentic.
Yeah. Plus, there's so much competition. I mean, there's so many different things competing for people's attention right now. I mean, you know, it's so easy for people to consume a million podcasts, music, movies.
Why listen to a show? I can listen to a podcast.
Yeah, so it's just, and again, if you're working,
you listen to a show because of the immediacy, because it's Monday after a big football game.
And I want to hear,
and you want to hear the host's take. You want to hear callers too. That's you want to hear other voices in real time.
I'm not going to say this out loud, but after Redskins on Monday, I listen to Zabe, and I swear to God.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There is nothing more.
You must listen through the static.
There is. Well, yeah, that's why we do.
No, Alexa. Play night.
Oh, you play the app. Yeah, the goddamn app is a disaster, by the way. People complain to me all the time, and I'm like, bro, I don't run the app. The company runs the app. They jam it full of pop-up ads. It's glitchy.
What?
It's got problems. Yeah.
Byron One? Effing something up?
It's not just them. iHeart. The app that runs my morning show out of Milwaukee, people complain. They're like, God damn it, this thing keeps doing this, this, and this. And I'm like, I don't run that. I'm sorry.
By the way, there is nothing more enjoyable for anyone on the East Coast. I think they still do this on WIP. They don't broadcast the games. They just take calls during the Eagles games.
Oh, really?
And it's the most entertaining thing you'll ever come across. They're like, can you believe what they just did? They got a fire.
Fucking
this guy
Peterson
right
punted instead of going for it.
When Reed was the coach, they'd
Who
be like, oh, my God,
worked.
Fire this guy now.
I thought IP had the rights to the games. Did they lose them?
Maybe it was back in the day. They didn't have them. I don't know.
No, I'm going up to Philly this weekend. I'll get to the bottom of it.
Thank you.
Oh, visit the family.
Yes, in-laws. Yes. And I would like to visit Harry Mays, my buddy, who was doing the show with Bruno.
Very funny, by the way.
He is
here.
Funny. The Bruno thing.
I
loved Tony Bruno, and I still love him to a certain degree, but what he did was not helpful for bald, white, 50-year-old men in the business. Him getting canceled is not good for guys like me.
Yeah.
Because I look like him. If I have opinions that are strong that are not politically correct, they think, it's another Bruno type. And what he said was he walked right into the face of it by saying that NBA players, most of them can't read. You can't do that. He could have pulled up short of that.
Yeah.
And while he's at a point in his career where he doesn't care anymore, doesn't need the money.
He's the old grandfather now.
It's fucking bad for us in the industry still trying to get a job.
But I still have wonderful feelings about Bruno on Sunday. That 3-hour show that they did on ESPN Radio, which I still say is like
I remember catching that. Was a great show.
That's 99.
Which
98, 99.
Top four or five best shows ever. We have a final.
He's great. Most talented guy to ever do it, but obviously had gotten to the point where he was sick of the bullshit.
Well, and I think at some point.
And he had a good deal going, too. He had really built himself. Him and Harry had a nice deal to build back up upon. They had this nice basement studio they've been building out. Like, fuck, man.
Now you just need to go to work, you know, in the desert with Brent.
Goddamn. Murray. How about our boy Murray?
Murray
don't you want to take Murray in the head and go, Murray, look at you.
I know, but I can't. He's too big.
He's 6'9".
I know. Tallest drink of water ever. One of the genuinely nicest guys I've ever worked
with. Started as an intern.
Yeah. I loved him, Murray. Yeah.
Very happy for him. Yes. You know, he followed me. He's now Bob and Brian's guy.
Oh, that's right.
People are like, how is that, man? You know,
they gave him a job. What am I supposed to do?
Right, exactly.
Don't hire Murray?
I'm glad he got it, not somebody else. By the way, one of the finalists he beat out was Bruno.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Murray beat out Bruno.
Good for Murray.
Got to put that on his resume.
Good for Murray.
And the reason was because I brought Murray to Zabe Vegas, where Bob and Brian had come out 1 year, and Bob struck it up with Murray, and they liked each other, had some good laughs, and so there was good chemistry there. I'm like, that's great.
That's awesome.
By the way, has that union ever come full circle, or is it still?
Nah, we're the ships have sailed opposite directions. That's fine. I harbor no ill will, but, you know, they didn't quite take it as –
every now and then Zabe would do something on Bob and Brian, and he'd bring me in, mm-hmm. and I really like those fucking guys.
You met those guys, right? Did you Vegas that 1 year?
No, just on the air.
Oh, okay, right.
Because you would like a black issue. I would come on.
That is embarrassing. Hey, guys, here's my black friend. say hi to Jay.
But Bob and Brian, I was like, these guys are funny as hell.
Yeah, they'll know. They absolutely, man.
Did I go on with them doing the Johnny Nesk bit?
I think you did.
Yes, you did.
That's right.
Yes.
I feel bad because by the time we were talking doing that.
The listeners love Johnny Nesk.
I had done that bit like a million times, and it was like, I've written every joke for this. I've just got nothing left now. But I know it's a fun
bit. Can I stipend you somehow to do Johnny Nesk on the Milwaukee show?
With you?
My new one, yeah. I think people would fucking love it. They want me to do my guy, Jimmy Masterlock Dugans, but it's too hard on my voice, and I think it's a played shtick anyway. But Johnny Ness would be great.
Maybe an
occasional one.
Yeah, an occasional one we could do that. You don't have to stipend me, man. Well, you're an old friend, man.
The other, you know, who I've been bending the arm of is the Capitals stadium announcer, Wes. Not Wes McElroy. God damn. Unself. I hate getting old and senile. Wes Johnson. Wes Johnson. You know who Wes Johnson is?
Do not know who Wes Johnson is.
Yeah. He's the voice of the Capitals.
Okay. Oh.
He used to be like almost 350 pounds, lost all the weight.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
And kept his voice?
He does video games. He does characters in video games.
I've always wanted to get into that game. Whoa. You know how many voices I do in accents? I'm like,
should talk to him, although he probably don't want to give any help because he doesn't want to keep all the job. Yeah.
We don't need you anymore, Wes. We've got this guy Mark now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and all of a sudden all these Christopher Walken characters would come out in video games. It'd be great.
Yes.
Come on, fantastic. Give me some Christopher Walken.
Right. Steve, I'm not going to do that for you right now because I'm here with Jay, who's a fantastic guy.
I'll never forget looking at Wikipedia one day and seeing they listed the top Walken impersonators, and fucking Stern is in there.
I know. That was when
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yes. On Wikipedia.
They took it down since then, but this was up there.
Yeah. You were listed as one of the top guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
It was like him, the kid toucher from Hollywood. What's his name? The actor who did House of Cards.
Kevin Spacey.
It was you, Spacey, and Billy Bush.
Anyway,
like
yeah, so Wes Johnson, I created a character, Tommy Three-Team Malone. And Tommy Malone's claim to fame was that he said, I invented the three-team parlay.
That's brilliant.
So every week he gives us three picks, and he's like, this thing's coming home, three-team. This is Tommy's three-teamer. Never hit a three-teamer. Of course, he wasn't making the picks. I was making the picks, so I guess it was me not making the picks.
Three-team.
I think I did a bit. I think we had Walken coming in making picks or something like that. Or I did. Maybe it was Johnny Ness, and it was remember the producer Aaron Leisner? I think that was his last name. I remember I did it the first week, and the bit was not to get the games right.
The guy they fired me for, and then fired him a month later.
He was not real strong. Yeah. And I remember because it wasn't about getting the games right. It was always just about jokes.
Yeah.
And so after week one, he's like, your record last week was 1-2, and I was like,
no. You're like, I don't give a shit about my record.
No, we're not mentioning the record. The record doesn't matter.
Right.
Because every week I come in here, I'm 3-0. I'm always like, I was 25-0 last week.
Come on, give me a little Johnny Ness for those who have never heard Johnny Ness. Because Johnny Ness's best thing was the random
penalty
stats that the system plays.
Yeah.
So, pandemic teams on the road before less than 4,000 fans. Right. In states that voted Democrat the last cycle are an astounding 17-1-1 all-time ATS.
Did you know that Ron Rivera is an unbelievable 75-5 against the spread when he's the coach of the Washington football team in games played before November when there's a global pandemic going on? So take the Redskins, lay the 3 points against the Cowboys this weekend, and if I'm wrong, not only can you sleep with my wife, I'll drive you too to have a wonderful steak dinner, then to the Ritz Motel. Hotel
rather, where you can have wonderful sex all night long, and then you can come and punch me right in the face.
That was yes. my favorite that Johnny would, what yes. he would do.
The outrageous
yes.
promise
yes. Yes. Yes.
with the insane,
if I'm wrong,
exactly. But all those guys were molded on the Scamby Cappers of the late 90s on cable TV.
Yes.
Another thing that has basically gone away.
It's gone.
Although, you know who still lives on Barstool, and he's hilarious, Stu Feiner.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wow. Did not know that.
Stu Feiner is because, you know, Barstool Sports does this hilarious handicapping show with El Prez and Big Cat and Stu Feiner where they relive all those tropes, you know,
That's fun.
Why to bet, how to bet, and everything else. But those used to be a staple of betting on the NFL, these insane scamdicappers.
Another great morning. So Fox brought in Pharrell on the bench.
Yeah.
Pharrell on the bench.
Hey, Tom Coldwell.
Hey, just had enough because Pharrell would just say, I am a documented 79-4.
Yeah.
And Zayman was like,
no, you're not.
You were like, you got to show me these receipts, dude.
Right.
Because you just can't make these outrageous claims.
You're driving an 85 Sebring. You're not 79-4.
So this is my last story. So Zayman's out on vacation. And Scott's out on vacation. Mm-hmm. So it's me, Galdi, and Pharrell.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked him up with guests, but the dude had, like, nothing to say. So he literally just started, like, interviewing me and Galdi. Yeah. And Galdi, that fucking son of a bitch. And I'm saying that with love. Galdi takes off his headphones and goes, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's just interviewing us. He's getting paid all this money.
All right, because Galdi is the king of prep. He resents people that don't put in the work.
God, I love Galdi.
I want to get this on the record. I'm not sure I love any human being
more
on this planet
Albert
more
I.
than
Galdi.
Albert Galdi.
By the way,
he is just the best.
His age used to change like every week. You would say how old he was.
I know.
26, babe.
26. No, I couldn't keep that straight.
Yeah, like there was Galdi and I worked together in the morning at like 4. 3 and 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had dreadlocks, and I cut them off one day. And Galdi and I never talked to each other. Literally, we sat next to each other,
yeah.
Like arm to arm.
Just prepping.
Didn't talk, just prepping. And he didn't notice that I cut my hair off until the show. That's how regimented Galdi
was.
Like,
oh, hey, looks like a new haircut on you.
Yeah, that's what he was.
God,
all
right.
And now his brother's running the Phillies.
All right, we got one minute left.
Mm-hmm.
This Jeffrey Toobin thing. Clearly he has an issue. He's an exhibitionist. He did it on purpose under the guise of, I bet I could get away with this.
Really? That's what you think?
Nobody jerks off and mistakenly, oh, I didn't know it was on.
Oh. Well, again, you're in like a conference call. You got like, oh, we're on a break? Let me just take care of this real quick. Didn't a phone call come through and it was like a sex phone call?
Apparently. Now, I've not seen video of this. Did anyone record it?
Ooh.
I'm not sure.
Wants to press record on that one?
I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
There's
got to be tape.
You'd think HR would have. You would think that every Zoom call would be recorded for HR.
Okay, that's true.
We were looking at this earlier. There's a headline, too big to fire. Like, he's too valuable
I keep saying there's no such thing.
Do you think he comes back? And I mean,
no.
Why is he that fucking valuable? Go call Dan Abrams. See what he's doing. There's some other legal analyst out there.
If I were him, I'd be like, I can't go back. I can't look at people in the eye again.
Exactly. Wouldn't the women in the various offices, because he works for The New Yorker and for CNN, wouldn't they say, no fucking way with this pervert?
There's no such thing as too hot, too big to fire. No such thing.
I mean.
Everybody can get got.
Yeah.
And that's what from the
Here's some headlines. Jeffrey Toobin, why men are defending masturbating during Zoom calls.
Who's defending?
Some men.
That's clickbait.
Apparently.
Nobody's defending. No.
That's clickbait. Don't click on that.
Nobody's defending that.
But I want to, though. Come on. Give me one click, baby.
That's like a pre-show discussion. Be like, will you take the side where you say that men should masturbate
on
Zoom calls?
That's Stephen A. and Max Kellerman.
You take the outrage. Yeah, I'll say I'm with them.
Yeah.
I bet there was someone that worked in his orbit that he was really hot for, and he thought, okay, I'm going to turn my camera off, and just listening to her talk, I'm going to
Time and a place. It's like
sexual perverts are sexual perverts. They don't make any sense. Anthony Weiner threw
it. Sexual perverts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember when I'd go into the studio in the morning, Like, the one thing you didn't want to do was look at the search history.
Oh, Jesus. Right? On the computer.
On the overnight guy.
And you'd be like, oh, my God, yeah. What were you doing in here?
Right.
This is not conducive to anything other than running a show.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Right. You'd look at it, and you'd be horrified, and they'd be like, oh, that's a category? I didn't know that, actually.
Let me write that one down.
Might have potential.
Just write that one down. Yeah.
All right. We're missing the World Series. Can I go buy you a drink? Thank you for coming to the Free Hugs and Candy Van.
I got to go back home.
My drink is hanging out with you. This seriously.
You know what? I need to bring a cooler with drinks in here next time.
I got a flask here. You want something? What do you want?
I got a long drive.
Yeah. No, but honestly, this is a total thrill. Thank you. Thank you for letting me barge my way in here to do this with you guys.
And people will hate us, by the way, on Reddit. They hate me.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to hate
you. Fuck the Reddit people.
I don't care.
No. I'm just laughing.
I love you. I love both you guys.
No. But what do I say about the Reddit guys? Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Everyone who's in my orbit, whether it's you or Ronnie or Eunice or John Ronis, or Andy, or Charge.
Probably
the only guy that nobody hates is Charge.
No, but he's Minnesota nice.
He's Minnesota. Of course.
Yeah, Charge is a super nice guy.
Right. No, but I tell the listeners of this podcast, I go, look, you got to trust me that when I bring somebody on, you're going to like them over experience, you know, over multiple times. Hopefully this is not the last time. So maybe again, when developments warrant. Right, Jay?
Yes.
As we like to say.
Yes.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Thank you. And now you seem so at ease. The strange inner peace is all that he's feeling somehow. He's got all kinds of time.
We'll end on this today. Did you see the Centers for Disease Control has changed its definition of close contact with COVID-19 positive people again? Previously, and for months now, the CDC has said, look, you got to be within 6 feet of somebody for 15 solid minutes or longer to consider yourself worthy of self-quarantining, even without a positive test, to help stop the spread. You know, 2 weeks to stop the spread, slow the spread, flatten the curve, save our hospitals, whatever. So that was it. That was their stance for a long time. Well, they've changed it because they found one case of a prison guard, 20 years old, in Vermont, who was wearing a mask and goggles and had contact with prisoners who were COVID positive for a total of 17 minutes, but 17 minutes intermittently over an 8-hour span. So now the CDC has said, oh, new science. If you're within 6 feet of somebody, not necessarily continuously, but at least a total of 15 minutes over a 24-hour period, yeah, you should probably just go crawl into a room and shut the door for 2 fucking weeks. Is anybody listening to this shit anymore? Should you be listening to this shit anymore? This is your government at work. You know what the CDC is not focused on? Randomized seroprevalence studies. In other words, how close are we? Or how far away are we from herd immunity? Give me some nationalized antibody studies that really do it in a scientific manner. Okay? Let us know. How far is this thing gone? How many people have had it and never even knew about it? Apparently, we're not working on that. The CDC is not worried about, hey, what happened to all the flu, which has dropped off the table? The CDC is apparently not worried about the spike in suicides, which people are now starting to note like, wow, this is kind of a bad year for suicides. The CDC is not talking much about the unaccounted for lockdown deaths that have caused a huge jump in excess mortality in the 25 to 34-year-old range. All the while, we're trying to save an 82-year-old person who's a diabetic and has dementia from coronavirus. And we're seeing a massive spike in young people committing suicide out of despair because of what we're doing. The CDC is not pushing hard to combat what could be a serious psychological effect on young people and children who might be developing an unhealthy fear of human contact and interaction and a fear of germs. In other words, a whole generation of Howie fucking Mandels out there. CDC care about that? No. But they found one prison guard in Vermont that had 17 minutes of exposure with a mask and with goggles. How's that for irony?
This mask is better than a vaccine, says Robert Redfield, douchebag emeritus of the CDC. Well, wasn't good enough for that guy. And it's 17 minutes. Well, let's see. I counted the minutes. I was near somebody who might have been COVID positive, but it only came out to 13 minutes over 9 hours. So I don't know. Should I call my boss and tell him I can't come into work for 2 weeks because I'm going to sit in my house and lock myself in a room? Yeah, you know what? Let's do that just to be safe. We have lost our fucking minds. But there you go. The new science, everybody. Science! That'll do it for me today. Thanks for listening. Remember, this is not a full-blown recap of everything I do. It's a supplement every day, a little extra, a little something different. You can hear me at from 6 to 9 a.m. on The Game in Milwaukee, 97.3 FM, on the iHeart app as well, 3 to 6 p.m. on Team 980 in Washington, D.C., talking mostly sports, but some other stuff as well. Get both of those apps for your phone. Listen at your leisure. Download those podcasts if you just can't get enough of me. But honestly, you should have plenty of me at this point. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday. Tomorrow, we got Football Five Ways Friday. Can my lock of the week run its record to a perfect 7-0? What will Mr. X have for his hot steam plays of the week? If you already subscribed, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Your $5 a month helps sustain me and encourage me. If you're not a subscriber yet and you're just kind of freeloading on the fringes of this podcast Monday through Thursday, I would say tut tut, shame on you, but I'm not going to do that. I won't subscription shame you. Well, maybe a little bit, but hey, chip in $5. Keep me motivated. Maybe you can buy me a bionic larynx. When I got to get surgery for this thing. If you can, I'd appreciate it. If you can't or don't want to, that's fine. We all are buried in individual subscriptions. People are going to have to subscribe to Apple TV Plus just to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, which is an outrage that we should talk about at a future date in depth. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. Hey, Zabe here from MyBookie, the official sports book of the Zabecast. Real payouts, real customer service, absolutely rock-solid place to get your sweet action on when it comes to sports. What a glorious time we're in right now. NFL is going, college football's going, about to add in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Baseball playoffs are here every single night. There is no shortage of games to watch or bet on, and you need to get on with MyBookie. Whatever it is you like to bet, lay low and then wham, hit them with a big right hook of a bet, or maybe just dabble or have a little bit here, a little bit there. Do it from your phone. It's so convenient. Play some parlays, underdog parlays. Make meaningless games meaningful for you by putting a little something something on it. And go to mybookie.com to do it. When you sign up, use the promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start in your winning season. Read the rules and regulations so you understand how the bonus payout works, and you're on your way. Promo code ZABE to claim that bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, the Masters coming up, presidential prop bets. Oh, it is sweet action all over the place. MyBookie.com, the official and reputable and rock-solid sports book of this, the Zabecast.